All right, brethren, Psalm 116, and we looked at this last time. I want to look at it again, and you know the setting of this psalm is in verse 3. It's great affliction, and we hear Christ speaking here. Let's hear the Lord speaking. Verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me. And the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. We know this was true of our Lord on the cross. The sorrows of death compassed him. The pains of hell got hold of him. Everywhere he looked, all about him was sorrow and trouble. This was everything that night leading up to the cross. It was everything that he suffered in those 3 hours on that cross. And there was nobody to help. There was no one about. He was bearing this for his people. He's bearing what we deserve. You sitting here that believe him, that's what he was bearing for us. Now look down at verse 10. And I want to stay with our Lord all the way through. I don't have points, really. I just want to go verse by verse. But I want to look at Christ in it, and then I want you to, we'll apply it a little to us. Verse 10, now stay with our Lord here. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Now what did he just speak? We saw this great sorrow and this great affliction he was in, and he said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Back in verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. As our Lord suffered, as the perfect, faithful servant of our Father, the righteous, holy servant of God, he believed God. He believed every word the Father promised him. And it's very important because he's representing all of us, his people, and he's believing God as the righteous, perfect, faithful one. And he believed God. Now, we've seen all through these Psalms our Lord cry to the Father. Prophetically, we've seen it all through these Psalms. And sometimes he cried to him as he walked this earth. Sometimes he cried to him from the cross. That night, this is a song that he would have sung more than likely with his apostles before he went to the garden. And we know when he went to the garden, he cried, I believe, therefore I cried unto the Lord. And then on the cross, he did as well. Now, when we suffer, when you and I suffer, it's not going to be anything like what Christ suffered. You know that. But as we suffer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on him. Believe on him and call on him. And if we believe on him, that's what we'll do. We'll call on him. He'll sanctify it to our heart when he sends the trouble, and you will call on him like never before. Like never before. And the Father, he will raise us in every trial. Just like he did when he brought you to call on him the first time and he raised you to see Christ crucified in your room instead and he lifted your heart, made you believe him and trust him, strengthened you inwardly, he'll do the same for us in every time of suffering. You believe him and you call on him. You look to him and you call on him. That's what our Redeemer did. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. The same Spirit that spoke in our text that spoke to the psalmist, gave him this word to write. He also spoke, the same Spirit spoke in the Apostle Paul. And he moved Paul to quote our psalm. And Paul was talking about when he suffered great affliction. Why he believed the Lord, and why he spoke. He spoke to the Lord, he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke his word faithfully because he believed. And look what he said here now. Watch what he said. He's telling how we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just clay pots, and the excellency of the power is not of us. We have absolutely no sufficiency of ourselves. That's me, you, all of us. Our sufficiency is of God every hour of every day, constantly. And the Lord will prove that in his people. He'll prove that in his people. And he did in the Apostle Paul, verse 8, he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. How could that be? How could that be? He believed God. He called on the Lord when he was in this shape. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Christ said, Paul said, we're dying every day, and the only reason we're upheld is Christ is our strength. He's the life in us. Now watch this. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Here's what we believe. Here's why we're calling on the Lord. Here's why we trust Him. Here's why we call on Him. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And for this cause, because the Lord is working in His people, we believe Him, we call on Him, and He's the life working in His people. And for this cause we faint not. It's for His people, for the glory of God. Though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Now that's the same thing that our Lord's saying in our text. When He suffered, He believed, He called on the Lord, and the Lord was His strength. Now go back with me to Psalm 116. Verse 10, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Now, while the Lord Jesus was going to the cross, there was all kinds of things done to Him. When He was in that hall of Caiaphas's that night, they smote Him, they blindfolded Him, they hit Him, they did all kinds of things. And then on the cross, they were going all about the cross. And they were surrounding Him, they were gnashing upon Him. And they were saying, Isaiah tells us what they were saying. They said, He's stricken of God. He's smitten of God. He is afflicted of God. They said, He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him if He'll have Him. For He said, I'm the Son of God. They're mocking Him. They're mocking Him. They're just standing there wagging their head at Him and just mocking Him. That's all they were doing. Now, sinners will oppose our gospel. We got a lot of enemies without that will oppose the gospel. And they'll oppose you, and they'll speak all manner of evil against you. And they'll, especially if you suffer outwardly. That's why they were doing it to Christ, because He was suffering outwardly. But hear Christ speak right here. Verse 10, I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, I said hurriedly, all men are liars. Now listen, the word haste makes some people think that David is saying he made a mistake. Now there's no doubt when he was in that great season of unbelief, this is where a lot of people think he wrote this from that experience. When he was in that season of unbelief, he even doubted the word of Samuel that Samuel gave to him. Remember when he thought Saul was going to kill him and he fled and went into the land of the Philistines? He said, he'll kill me, and the best thing for me to do is flee into the land of the Philistine. But that's not what our Lord said. That's not what our Lord said. Our Lord heard those words, and He hastily, that means hurriedly, said, all men are liars. What did He just say before that? I believe. I believe. These men are lying. I believe God. I believe His word. I believe the Lord God that sent me. And these men, what they're saying, they're lying. I believe Him. I'm His. I'm doing His work. I trust Him. I believe Him. That's what our Lord Jesus said. He was greatly afflicted by men saying all those things about Him, but He believed the word of His Father, and therefore He called on the name of the Lord. The same Spirit of God was in our Lord, and the same Spirit was in Paul. And again, Paul quoted or said something that it sounds just like this verse. And I believe it's exactly what it gives light for this verse. Go over to Romans 3 and look at verse 3. You can listen to men or you can listen to God. You can get in God's word and listen to God or you can listen to men. And the devil's desire is to destroy our faith. The only way to resist him is steadfast in the faith. It means we're going to have to get in God's word and we're going to have to hear what God says and believe God and call on God and trust God. And you're going to face all kind of opposition when you're trying to declare the gospel to men. And they're going to hate you and they're going to constantly speak evil against you. They may do it for years and years and years and years and years. Paul said in Romans 3:3, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? This is what some people will say. When they hear about the sovereignty of God and able to bring the gospel to his people and effectually work in his people, they'll say, but what about these people that don't believe? They must make the word of God of none effect. Paul said, God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it's written. That thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. That fits the context of our psalm a whole lot better than saying David made a mistake. Christ Jesus the Lord heard all the cries of the men around him saying what they were saying. And he said, let God be true and every man a liar. He trusted the Father. I believed, therefore I called on him. I called on him and he heard me. He heard me. You go to the Lord. You trust the Lord. You believe on the Lord. In all times of suffering, by his grace, here's what God's going to do. When the trouble comes and the trial comes, you'll start hearing all kind of talking and all kind of voices. And there'll be a lot of them that would destroy your faith, completely destroy your faith. You go to God. And you believe God. You call upon the Lord. Let God be true and every man a liar. You trust him. You commit all your care to him. You resist steadfast in the faith. No matter the objections, no matter the opposition, you go to God and you believe God. You go to God and you believe God. Trust him. Now, we've seen in John's gospel the submissive spirit that our substitute had. We've been looking at this in John 18. When those soldiers came to arrest him. Now, hear him speak in this psalm. Verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now look at Christ before he went to the cross. Looked at him before he went to the cross. He's facing the cross. He's facing the suffering. Look at what he's saying now. He had said the Lord Jesus loved him from before the foundation of the world. He prayed that high priestly prayer and he spoke of the glory he had with the Father before the world was. The Father entrusted a people to him. The Father gave him this great work to do. And when he came as God's righteous servant, God the Father was with him throughout his life. When he was in the womb, God was protecting him. And when he was born, Herod wanted to kill him right away. Before he was just coming into the world. And Herod tried to kill him. And the Lord protected him. All through his life, he's trusting the Father as the righteous, faithful one, trusting the Father, and the Father protected him the whole way through. And when he entered his public ministry, the Lord poured the Spirit out upon him without measure. And all through his public ministry, the Lord was giving him all these benefits, and he comes to that time when he's supposed to face that cross and he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? Look at verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation. In John 12:27, he said, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? He said, for this cause came out unto this hour. When he was in the garden praying, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? He said, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And then he told Peter, put up your sword, Peter. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You see, that cup of affliction for him is the cup of salvation for his people. That's the cup of salvation for us. But he had to drink that cup of affliction for us, for it to be the cup of salvation to you and me. So he said, verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I'll take this cup and I'll do it calling on the name of the Lord, trusting my Father. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord. I'll pay to the Lord what I vowed to pay him from eternity. I'll fulfill that everlasting covenant I promised him I would fulfill. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's the joy set before him right there. How he endured the cross, despising the shame. Because in his death, all God's saints, everyone God sanctified in him and divine election, died. And that was a precious death to our God, because by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We died in him. There's some people here that died in him that night. You died in him. We rose in him. And in the new birth, he gave us that sweet cup of salvation. Now what do we say? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? I'll take the cup of salvation and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. When he brings you this gospel and he reveals to you what he's done for you, it may be a cup of affliction he gives you at first to reveal your sin to you, but when he shows you what he's done for you, you willingly take that cup of salvation. And it's a sweet cup. And then when he works providentially and this cup of affliction comes to you, whatever it is, that's the cup of salvation too. Each trial makes us die a little bit more to this world, and each trial makes us live a little more to him. Each trial makes us die to this world, each trial makes us live a little more to him. That death's precious in the Lord's sight. And so let this be the spirit. When the trial's coming, or you're in it, or you're coming out of it, I'll take the cup of salvation, and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. When Paul was in bonds, when he was afflicted, men were preaching to add to his affliction. You remember what he said? He said, I'm just thankful Christ has preached. But he said this, I know that this shall turn to my salvation. This is a cup of salvation for me. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, there was a lot of people. The ones that were preaching and trying to add affliction to his bond, 100% convinced Paul was a wicked man. Every one of them. Paul said, I know. What did he do? He said, let God be true and every man a liar. God's promised me I have salvation in Christ, and I trust him, and I believe him, and I'm going to continue following him. Let God be true. I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. And God's people are going to pray for one another. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he's going to keep his people. It's going to turn to your salvation, whatever the cup is. Now, believing God and beholding what great things he's done for us in Christ, seeing how he's made us righteous, how he's made us holy, how he's satisfied the law for us, and then by his Spirit giving us an understanding of all this, this is why we're willing to give ourselves to him, to serve him. Whatever the sacrifice cost, whatever it cost you, you have to leave your home, you'll do it. You have to leave a life you had that was had a lot more appeal and a lot more money involved. Whatever it is, David said, shall I sacrifice to the Lord that which cost me nothing? I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He heard the voice of my supplications. I love him, I believe him, I'll call upon him as long as I live. That's what he said in the first two verses. He's heard me, he's answered me, he's delivered me. I love him, I'll call on him the rest of my days as long as I live. How long is that going to be, believer? Forever. Because you're never going to die. It's going to be forever. I believed him, and so I've spoken, and I'll speak of his faithfulness in the presence of his people. They all that night when they were saying all those things, Christ just kept speaking the faithfulness of God. He just kept speaking the truth of the Lord. And so will his people. I'll walk before him in the land of the living. I'll walk before him knowing I'm before him. Protected by him, hedged about by him, always wanting to please him. And I'll give him all the praise for making me do this. This is what every time you take the cup of salvation, whether it's affliction or he's giving you that sweet cup showing you how he's brought you out of the affliction, every time a little bit more, that's where he brings you. That's where he brings you. We have to be patient. Let patience have a perfect work. Trust God to grow. Trust him to give the early rain and the latter rain. And wait on him, and he'll do it. Now, verse 16. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. And the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. Now, let's stay with Christ here for first. The Lord Jesus Christ was God's willing bondservant. You remember in Isaiah 42, verse 1, the Lord said, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Now, the bondservant, the willing bondservant, he was somebody who loved his master and wanted to serve his master. And so when he could go out free, he wouldn't. He wanted to serve his master. So they took him to the doorpost and they put an awl through his ear. They opened his ear. Well, go to Isaiah 50 and look at what our Lord said. I'm thy servant. Truly, I'm thy servant. Isaiah 50, verse 5. He said, The Lord God hath opened mine ear. That's what they did to a bondservant. They opened his ear. He said, The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. I was willing. I'm the willing bondservant. Neither turned away my back. I willingly gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You hear him speaking of how he believed him. He believed him. I believed him, therefore I've spoken. He's believing God and he's speaking, isn't he? He's near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who's mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Now, that's what he believed. That's why he said, Let God be true and every man a liar. If the voice speaking is not saying, Look to Christ and trust Christ and follow Christ, it's a voice of opposition. Putting anything between you and Christ, it's a voice of opposition. But if he's saying, go to Christ, trust Christ, that's all brethren want for one another. That's a brother speaking to you. I trust you to Christ. Go to him. He'll save you. He's the master. Well, look, the Lord Jesus, according to the flesh, was the son of the handmaid. He was the son of the Lord's handmaid, according to the flesh. When the angel told Mary the Son of God was in her womb, you remember what she said? Luke 1 at 138, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Christ said, I'm the son of thine handmaid, Lord. She said, Be it according to thy word, Lord. She didn't understand what the Lord was doing. He came and said, The Son of God's in your womb. You're about to give birth to Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. She said, Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. I'm just your handmaid. After our substitute suffered a while, he went there, and what'd they do? We saw Sunday, what'd they do? They bound him. They led him away. And he went to that cross, and the Lord put all the sins of his people on him. He was made a curse for his people, and he bore that bondage, that curse that we would have borne. And then they wrapped him in garments for the grave, and they put him in the tomb. Lord said, You loose my bonds. He came out of that grave. He came out alive. And he ascended to the Father. And all his people came out and ascended to the Father in him. He said, Oh, my Lord, you've loosed my bonds. I'm the son of thine handmaid. Now, when he comes to you and gives you grace and makes you know you're his, And this is what he keeps on renewing. You know, you're renewed in the knowledge, after the image of him that created your new man. And this is what he's going to keep teaching you. There's two things that's required to make a sinner a willing bondservant. Two things. One, you've got to be born into the master's house. That's one way. You could be born into a house and be a servant. That's one way. Well, all God's children are born again into his house. And we're sons. We're sons. We're sons of the handmaid. Who's the handmaid? His church. His church is preaching this gospel through which Christ is making us be born again. And we're all born again of God's sons of the handmaid. And by his grace, he makes you willing to be a servant of the Lord. The second way a sinner could be made a servant was he's bought. He's purchased. Our Lord Jesus redeemed us. He bought us out of captivity. He bought us with his precious blood. And it's beholding how he loved us and laid down his life for us and by his precious blood bought us that makes us willing to be his servants. Willingly. And that makes us say, oh Lord, you gave me life and you loosed my bonds. You loosed all my bonds. He does this over and over. He makes you see it. All these little deliverances, all these little redemptions are to remind you of that great redemption and that great loosing of your bonds. Lord, truly I'm thy servant. I'm thy servant. I'm the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon thy name, the name of the Lord. And that word call also means praise. I'll praise him as long as I live. That's what he said in verse 2. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now listen, it's Christ himself. He's the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He gave himself. He's the offering. He sacrificed himself. All those old covenant thank offerings pictured Christ Jesus. And as we give thanks to God for what he's done, and we have to give him thanks for everything. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. That means it's the will of God concerning you to thank him for everything. But it means also in everything give him thanks, because whatever it is that's in your life right now, that's God's will for you. Thank him for it. Because it's salvation. In some way, it's salvation. And whatever it is you need it, it's salvation for you. Thank him for it. It might be breaking your heart. Thank him for it. It may be rejoicing your heart. Thank him for it. But as we're thanking him, God receives our thanksgiving through Christ Jesus, our intercessor. He's the one pictured in that thank off. We come to God's house through his name. Through his name. Thanking him through his name. By him, therefore, that's what the Hebrew writer said. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I was going to save this for the next message, but I'll go ahead and give it to you now. I read this story about this little girl, and I think it was set in England, maybe. And her mother was very poor, and they were put out on the street, and it was cold, 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 and they did not have a place to go in and get out of the wind, and they had no shelter whatsoever. And the mother passed by a cellar, and the door was just almost off the hinges. And she pulled that cellar door off the hinges. And she set it up against the wall and got down under it to block the wind. And the mother was complaining a little bit about how cold it was. And the little girl said, Mama, what about those dear children that don't have a cellar door to block the wind? That's giving thanks for everything. Thank you for the cellar door. That's all I got. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. And he said, and do good and communicate, supplying the needs of brethren, He said, don't forget that, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And if we're thankful, we'll try to do good to one another, and we'll try to provide sacrificially whatever the other need. Verse 18, I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Are we going to stay with the Lord right here? Are we going to look at the Lord Jesus first right here? He's the head of the church. He's the prophet, priest, and king. He promised the Father, this was his vow in the covenant of grace, that as the prophet, priest, and king of his people, he was going to draw all his people to his house. And he was going by his Spirit through his gospel, give them all the heart to believe and bring them to praise God and give him all the glory. That's what he promised. That's what he promised the Father. That's if you're here tonight, by his grace, by his power, by his Spirit, that's why you're here. And if you hear this word, it's because he's speaking to you, blessing it to your heart. That was Christ's vow to his Father. God the Father said in Isaiah 42, he said, behold my servant. He said, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles, the Gentiles, shall wait for his gospel. When he came here, he set judgment in the earth on the cross. And he began setting judgment in the hearts of his people. And he began with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And after he arose, he started sending forth his gospel to the Gentiles. And we've been waiting on his gospel ever since. He's still been spreading his gospel to us, setting judgment in our hearts, giving us discernment to know he is all and in all. And when he's called the last one in, he'll present us to him blameless. Only one way you're going to be blameless when he comes, that's in him. That's in him. If we try to be blameless in ourselves, we'll be spotted. It's only in him. So this is his command. Has he gathered you here and he's done this work, made you see he's done this work for you? What's his command then? Here it is, the end of verse 19. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Give him all the thanksgiving. Amen. All right, Brother Greg, let's praise him.